So this morning, I've titled my message, Faith in Crisis, with the subtitle of What is Truth? I'm going to start with a question, what good does it do to tell people the Bible says if they don't believe the Bible is true? And the reason I ask that question is a poll came out this last week. I don't know if any of y'all saw that, but according to the most recent poll, only about 20% of Americans believe that the Bible is the actual Word of God. 80% of the people do not believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Even more surprising within that, only 39% of people who identify as Protestants say they believe that the Bible is the Word of God. So that's about 60% of non-Catholic Christians say they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And, I know a lot of times, at least among ourselves, the way we do think, well, the Bible says. For people who take the Bible as authority, that has a lot of standing. But how do we relate to this 80% of the world who don't believe that the Bible holds any special authority? Now, I want to be clear, I'm not saying that I don't believe that the power of the Word of God is not able to change lives. Amen. In fact, I believe the only thing that's able to change lives is Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. And so it is the Word of God. Whether they believe it, it's the Word of God or not, that's the only hope that they have. It's the only way to salvation is to hear the Word of God. But I think our challenge becomes, how do we present the Word of God to a lost and dying world when they already are primed to reject the Word of God as being truth? Amen? That's our task. That's our goal. That's our job as Christians. We are to preach the gospel. Amen. To proclaim the good news. And that actually is not a commandment to the pastors. That's a commandment to Christians. Amen. Pastors are supposed to prepare the people to go out and do the work. What is the work? The work is proclaim the gospel. Amen. Doesn't mean pastors can't go out and proclaim the gospel. It just doesn't mean they're the ones supposed to be doing all the work. So how do we do it? I think it's a good question that we should ask. How do we do it? How do we get people to hear about the word? Well, I think the first thing we need to do is take a look at how the world views truth, because that's what we're talking about this morning. Is this truth or is it fiction? 80% of the world says, well, it's just a bunch of fables and wise writings and some good sayings, but it's not the absolute Word of God. It's not truth. It's fiction. It may be good, but they don't accept it as the truth. So how does the world view truth? And I think to see that, we kind of need to see where the view of truth has gone over the years. Now, some of you are older like me. Amen? And you can remember when things were different. For people like River, this is the way it's always been. And so maybe he's not as surprised at how the world reacts. But I guess, again, I see all these changes that have come over the years. Unfortunately, I'm sure, 50, 60 years from now, River's going to see a lot of changes throughout his life. Amen? And so how do we get to where we are from where we were? And I think the first problem we ran into was this idea of loss of truth in morality. And that's the idea that there is no absolute right or wrong. And somewhere along the line over the years, and I don't think it was this way. I wasn't born in 1950, but I'm pretty sure in 1950, the average view wasn't that, well, morality is relative. I think people held on to more concrete views of right and wrong and absolute right and wrong. But then I think as we went into the 60s, and certainly I grew up during the 60s, and I began to see things change over the years. And it became more and more of, well, what feels right for you is probably right. I think one of the big sayings out of the 60s, if it feels good, do it. Was that 60s or 70s? I don't remember. That's kind of the approach the world began shifting to, was there is no absolute right and wrong. And then with that has come this kind of this saying of, well, who are you to tell others how to live? So when we approach people that view truth as relative, morality as relative, and we say, well, but the Bible says, and we see that I think a whole lot today with a lot of the really hot topics that have come up and become political issues. So the issues of the acceptance of homosexuality, of abortion, those types of things, people want to say, well, who are you to tell me how to live my life? You know, how come your truth, how come your morals are the ones that should be enforced? Because aren't my morals just as good? And I want to tell you, I mean, we need to consider that. Because again, if we're going to witness to lost people in the world, we're going to hear those types of questions. And then over time, it's gotten even worse. So it started off, you know, the people out in the world, you know, maybe the people that were more on the fringes, you know, well, whatever seems right to you is right. And over time, that attitude, unfortunately, has crept into the church. You know, I don't know. I don't want to pick on Martin Luther too much, but you know, Martin Luther kind of kicked a hornet's nest, right? Because before Martin Luther, there was the Catholic Church, pretty much. And everybody believed the same thing, or you were kicked out of the church, or even worse, you might be executed for disagreeing with the church. So they had some kind of harsh views. And Martin Luther became enlightened. And Martin Luther, I think, you know, the biggest challenge he brought to the church was the idea of salvation through grace versus salvation by works. And that was certainly an important thing that he did. And I'm glad that Martin Luther did what he did. But unfortunately, you know, I think things have continued on because he started off with this division. And I say there's some theological, major theological division that he started with, that biggest one being over how we're saved. But from that, now we've had different people coming to different conclusions. And, you know, viewing the scripture in different ways. And, you know, today there are literally hundreds of denominations. And if we want to throw in, you know, one-off churches, because we're not a denomination, we have a belief system. There are probably, you know, hundreds of thousands of different churches that hold to their belief system. And it may be different because, you know, look here in Grapeland, we have a belief system. We've got, First Baptist up the road, they've got a belief system. We've got Grace Bible Church over here. Now, I'm not picking on any of them. I'm just saying, look at, you know, we got the Methodist Church up here. In Crockett, we've got a Lutheran church. We've got an Episcopal church. We've got a Catholic church. We have all these different churches, and we all view the exact same Word of God differently. I'm pretty sure everybody can't be right. Amen? So that creates a lot of confusion because one group says, well, this is what this passage means. And another group says, no, you're wrong. This is what this passage means. And while they may be discussing what it means, somebody else comes and says, no, you're both wrong. This is what it means. Well, how can anybody know what it means? And understand that we may be comfortable with that to a certain extent. And we understand, you know, maybe we are understanding of how they get to their views and how they support their views. And I'm not arguing. We may be wrong and they may be right in some cases. I mean, in fact, I'm going to tell you probably there are going to be cases where I'm wrong and other people are right, even though I think I'm right. Amen? It's the way it is. Hopefully I'm not wrong on anything too important or too many things. Amen? And whatever I'm wrong on, I pray that God will show me if I'm wrong. Amen? But you know, a lot of this comes how we were raised. I was raised in a church denomination that believed certain things, and so I believe that. But then over time, I came to challenge some of those beliefs, some of those things that I was taught and told, because I did not believe that it lined up totally with the scripture. And so, you know, I begin to shift my views. And so those things can happen from time to time. But understand too that 80% of the people out there who reject the Word of God as being the absolute truth, what do they see? They see total confusion within the church. You know, maybe they go visit one church over here and they hear one thing, and they go visit another church, and they hear another, and they go visit another church and hear another thing. And they're going, well, how can there be an absolute truth? Because you people don't even agree. You people being Christians, church people, you don't agree on the truth. And so I think we have a lot of confusion out there that comes from this. Now, I will tell you again, it's not an overcomable thing. Amen? Because really, what we need to do is back off the controversy for the most part, especially dealing with lost people, and deal with the basics. And the basics are, you're a sinner. The wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is salvation, and that only comes through Christ Jesus. There's no other way. And I'm pretty sure that every church that I named agrees with that. Amen? We're in total agreement on those things. It's when we get off, to certain passages or certain things, we may view it a little bit differently. We'll quit worrying about the things that are not as important as the things that are mostly important. Amen? And the most important thing is the gospel message. Jesus died for our sins. So I think, if we can carry that message forward to a lost world, and we need to keep it simple and on point, and if they want to come in and pull these other things in, we need to just not get sucked in to the debate and the confusion and come back and say, okay, that's fine. But let's talk about what it means to be a sinner. Let's talk about God's judgment upon sinners. Amen? All right, so we have the idea of, no absolute morals. Then we have this idea that, there's no absolute even within the Christian religion. And I will tell you, a big thing we're fighting today is the academics. Just about any major university out there, you have these academics who are pushing a very non-Christian agenda. In fact, if you take a religion class in a whole lot of major universities, it will be a very non-Christian, even if they claim that they're teaching about Christianity. It'll be very non-Christian. Academics have, they've taken a stand, and unfortunately, what happens is kids go off to college, they go off to the university. What happens? They get indoctrinated with this thinking. And again, this really goes back to the 60s when the academics started this goal of doing this. And now I think it's really, really bad. So, first I want to say, if you got kids that are going off to college, if it were me, I would be very careful where I allow them to go to college. And I personally, there is no way am I going to spend, thousands of dollars to send a kid of mine off to be indoctrinated with this wrong thinking. I say, if you're going to college and I'm paying for it, here's your three choices. Now, I'll leave that up to you since you're the one with kids. But I am really convinced that's a real problem as I see parents, Christian parents, allowing their children to go off and to be indoctrinated into this wrong thinking in the world. And this is kind of the way academics approach things, and it's that truth is an individual thing. Whatever is true for you may not be true for me. It may be a different truth for Leanne and a different truth for Shemitri. If I boil it down, that's kind of what's being taught. So no wonder we see the things we see in the world when our children are being taught that there is no such thing as absolute truth, but there's only individual truth. And in fact, there's a big word we use for that. You probably heard of that word. It's called postmodernism. Anybody ever heard that word? Yeah. So what does postmodernism mean? Well, to make it really simple and to boil it down, it means there is no objective truth, and they reject both the truth of religion and philosophy or science. So even if you say, I have scientific facts, well, that's your truth. And what do we see today? I mean, I'm not joking. The idea that we can't always tell people that 2 + 2 always equals 4. Because we're imposing our view of mathematics onto somebody else. I'm a pretty smart guy sometimes. I was a math major in college. So I've studied math a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty sure it's an absolute fact ingrained into the fabric of the universe that 2 + 2 is equal to 4. Amen? So how is it then that in school we're teaching 2 + 2 can equal anything you want it to equal? Make it whatever. No wonder we have the confusion in the world that we have today when we reject such things. I mean, I learned math. If Johnny has 2 apples... and Billy has 2 apples, and Billy gives 2 apples to Johnny. How many apples does Johnny have? Well, there's only one answer. Amen? Can't be anything you want. Try that with your checkbook and see if it works with the bank. My balance is anything I want it to be. Not going to work. So we are setting our young people up for failure with all of this nonsense. And then here's the second aspect of postmodernism. And I'm sure you'll say, yeah, I'm sure you've seen a lot of what I said, you know, again, rejecting any objective truth, deciding what's true for you and what works for you. But the other aspect, and this has been going on again since the 1960s, okay? It's just getting more and more prevalent in the world because it's had time to grow and expand. But it's do whatever you want to do as long as you're not politically incorrect. The biggest sin in the postmodernist view, the biggest sin anybody can commit is to be politically incorrect. And so, you know, it's whoever decides what's politically correct somehow controls things. And if you disagree, you're in big trouble. And I think we've really seen this in the last several years. We've seen this become the norm. And if something doesn't change, what's going to happen? It's going to become even worse. So we need to realize again what it is we're fighting against out there in the world. No wonder again, when they do these polls, people have the views they have. So what do? Well, one, as Christians, we don't just sit around and complain about it. Christians are called to be light and salt. Amen. We're called to be agents of change. So we need to change the world. Stop complaining about the world and tell me what you're doing to change the world. Amen. You see the old saying, don't bring me problems, bring me solutions, right? Let's talk a little bit about truth from a Christian standpoint. So how does the Bible view truth? That would be a good way for us, since we, hopefully, this morning, 100% of us accept the Bible as the Word of God. Amen? If you don't, talk to me afterwards. But so hopefully I can say, let's discuss what the Bible says. And the Bible says a whole lot about truth. And to sum it up, the Bible teaches that truth is objective, that it comes only from God himself, and in fact, it can only be known when God permits it to be known. Because God is the only one who has the authority and the ability to accurately determine what is right and what is wrong. And if God says something is right or something is wrong, then that's the truth. Amen? But if God doesn't reveal the right or the wrong, we can't necessarily figure it out on our own. Amen? We can't derive it. God has to reveal it, which is the reason we need the Bible, which is the revelation knowledge of God. Amen? We need that revealed. We need the mind of God revealed. So what does the Bible say? John 8:32 says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Amen? So I believe this morning it is possible to know the truth. It is desirable to know the truth. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So how are we going to seek out and find the truth? We're going to be led by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. John 17:17 says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them what? Your word, which is truth. Amen. If you want to know the truth, this is where we have to start. Amen. And then Ephesians 4:21-22 says, you have heard about Jesus and you have learned the truth that comes from him. Where does the truth come from? Again, the truth comes from God. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have God the Father who inspired the Bible, and it was brought and recorded through the power of the Holy Spirit working through men. Then we had God become flesh. Jesus walked upon this earth and he taught the truth and he showed us the truth. Amen? Now I think we do have to admit that we are humans. We are not God. Amen? We are not capable of understanding all the mysteries and the things. And mysteries mean things that are unknown. Amen? There are things about God that we don't know. So we cannot claim that we have an absolute perfect grasp of the truth. And I think that's okay to admit. Amen? Especially if we're going to go deal with the world, we might as well let them know, yeah, I don't have the absolute grasp on truth. God has the absolute grasp on truth. Amen? Because, again, I may be wrong sometimes. So if I go tell people I'm 100% right, and then I'm wrong, what have I done? I just kind of undermined my position. I think that most of the time I have a handle on the truth. If I don't have a handle on it, I want to be the first to admit I don't know. Amen? There's times when I just say, I don't know. So we need to be careful then when we're speaking to the world to make sure that we convey what the scripture says. Amen? We need to know what the scripture says that we can convey it. But on the other hand, we need to make sure we don't add more than what the scripture says. And Christians have been very, very bad at doing that over the years. I know one of the big arguments I hear, you know, is people come back and say, well, you know, you Christians say homosexuality is wrong. But, you know, Christians used to say that slavery was okay. Unfortunately, back years ago, there were churches that maybe taught that. Amen. Not every church taught that. In fact, a lot of churches taught exactly the opposite. But just because some people taught something that wasn't biblical and wasn't right doesn't affect it. So I think, again, we meet those challenges. We say, well, absolutely, they were wrong to do that. Because I can't find here in the Bible anywhere that it takes that stand. Church one point in time might have said, well, interracial marriage is wrong. Bible never says that. Amen? We can't teach that as truth if it's not revealed. Now, I will say when it comes to the issue of homosexuality, I can give you scripture after scripture that the Bible teaches. Amen? But I think the church has done itself a great disservice by going out and representing things as being biblical that were not biblical. Let's know the Word of God, and let's not pile things onto the Word. There's enough truth in the Word of God, we don't need to add any more to it. Amen? Again, let's focus on the things. If God said this is detestable, then let's focus on that, as opposed to something that I don't like. Amen? Because I may be wrong in my views if I just say, well, I don't like it. We need to make sure we're presenting the real truth of the Word when we're out talking to the world. 1 Corinthians 13:9-10, it reminds us, it says, now our knowledge is partial and incomplete. So if you disagreed with me a minute ago when I said, I think, you know, we need to recognize that we don't have it all. Well, the scripture says our knowledge is partial and incomplete. Amen? Let's just accept that. And when the full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. Now, I'm going to tell you there'll be a day when it won't be a problem. There's going to be a day when Jesus Christ himself returns. Amen? And there's going to be a day when we stand before the judgment throne of God. And hopefully we're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in. Amen? And at that point, we will know as we are known. But until that day, we are operating with an imperfect grasp of the truth. Amen? And that's okay, because if it was important, God would have told us. Amen? Some things I think God says, just trust me. It's called faith. So we need to remember, we can't determine our own truth. We can only accept the truth as it is revealed to us. And we need to be careful to reject false claims that don't line up with the truth of God. Amen? If there's false teaching out there, I'm going to call it out. Amen? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I have no problem calling that out. Amen? Because there are a lot of false teachers out there, and they're adding things and claiming this is what God says when God didn't say it. Okay, so how can we present the truth effectively? Okay, three ways I think that can help us do that. Number one is, people know the truth through reason. And I know this seems counterintuitive a little bit, right? But for many Christians, their faith is rooted in facts. And in fact, we have a really big word that we associate with. Anybody ever heard the word apologetics? Yeah, apologetics is the defending of the faith. It's like being able to sit down and to have the knowledge and the wisdom and the skill to debate the Word of God. And there are some people out there that are very, very good. They know the Word, and they know, and they can sit down with an atheist and have a debate and stand toe to toe and nose to nose with them. Amen? And that's a good thing. And some people are won over by that. So I think we don't all have to be expert apologists. Amen? But I think that we need to have a basic grasp of how to defend the faith. We go out talking again to that 80% out there. It's not enough to say, well, you know, it's because the Bible says. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, I don't know. It's in there somewhere. Can't go out and say, well, I believe. We need to be able to back it up. We need to be able to show them in the Bible. Amen? If we don't know it well enough, how are we going to explain it to somebody else? So I think at least on some of the basics, we need to make sure that we know what we believe and why we believe it. And again, because my pastor says so is not sufficient. Amen? We believe it because, and then we need to come back and to be able to back that up. And that's apologetics, and that's presenting the truth through reasoning. And so reason can be used to present the truth, but again, we need to be careful because that's not, doesn't mean that truth is limited only to things that can be arrived at through human reason. Amen? Because again, as I said, our thoughts are not like God's thoughts. So we can deal with apologetics to a certain level, but at some point we got to realize it does go beyond that. But that can be a very effective tool, and has been, and continues to be. All right, so number two, knowing the truth through faith. And I will tell you, hopefully for all of us, we can relate to that statement. Amen? Why do I believe that this is the Word of God? Well, it ultimately comes back to my faith. Amen? I have faith in God, and I have faith that this is His Word. And a lot of Christians, that's the basis of where they stand for their truth. I have a quote here from C.S. Lewis, and I think this is a great quote. He said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe in the sun being that big thing up in the sky that's making us 110 degrees hot right now." Amen? "I believe in the sun because I walked outside yesterday and it was 105 degrees. Amen? C.S. Lewis said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe in the sun, not because I see it, but because by it I see everything." Amen? Isn't that a great statement? He said, "You know, I believe in the sun because of the sun, I see everything else." And he said, "I believe in Christianity. I believe in God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Why? Because of Him, I'm able to see clearly everything else. It all came into focus. And I think probably we can all say, you know, there was a time, you know, when I became a Christian and all of a sudden things begin to come into focus. I just begin to see things differently. Amen? So, again, it's the light of God's revelation. Amen? Not necessarily human reasoning that we know the truth. And then number three, we can say, well, I know the truth through experience. And I think, again, a lot of us can come back and relate to it. In fact, I think all of us can probably relate to all three of these. Amen? But maybe some of us one more than others. And that's the reason we go out talking and witnessing to the world. We need to realize one of these may be a more powerful because people approach things differently, just how they approach it. But number three, through experience. So a lot of people say, you know, I know that it's real. How do you know that it's real? Because I went to church one Sunday morning, and during the altar call, I went down, I knelt at the altar, and something in my life changed. And I walked out of that church, and after that, I didn't talk the way that I used to talk. I quit doing the things that I used to do. I quit hanging out with the people that I used to hang out with. My whole life changed. It was a 180-degree change. And it started right there when I knelt down and I prayed. And I know that something changed in my life. And people who know me and people who saw that, they knew that something changed. Amen. I think a lot of us can relate to that. Amen. So I know that it's real because I've seen that change. Or maybe you can say, I know that it's real because I know this person and I saw them and the way they were. And then I saw when they met Jesus Christ and I saw how God changed their life. Amen. Tell you, if I did never see any lives changing, I don't know that I would have the faith that I have. But because of the people that I see when they meet Jesus Christ and I see how their lives change, that shows me, that builds my faith. It shows me there's got to be something real. Maybe it's some other type of experience. Maybe it's an answer to prayer that you know, should not have happened. Something that should have been impossible, but yet God miraculously intervened. And I think we all may have stories like that. Maybe it's a story about a divine healing, either for us or somebody else that we know. And we absolutely know that we know that this is not some made up story, but we know the facts and we know what happened. Amen. And I know several stories of people that were healed they shouldn't have been. I know stories of people that were healed and the doctors could only shake their head in disbelief because they said, based on everything I know, based on all my education, based on all my experience, this should not happen. Right there, that's something to build our faith on. Or it may be something else that God has done. You know, God does all kinds of things. Amen? God does all kinds of things to build our faith. And each of these three approaches have value. And so what we need to do is keep them, you know, keep them in balance, but realize that there is no one right way when dealing with people who reject the Bible. Amen? We need to kind of offer up maybe different bits and pieces and figure out how we're going to deal with that one person. Amen? And then the next person, it may be a different. It may be a different combination of these three. But the truth never changes. Amen? So we can use these methods. We can use these ways to share our faith. And as I say, usually it comes down to some combination of all three. But I do want to remind us, if our goal is to go out and share our faith, if our goal out is to be into the world and be light and salt and to change the world, we first need to look in the mirror, amen? Because we need to be living a biblical lifestyle to the best of our ability, amen? If we're not living a biblical lifestyle, what kind of witness are we? You know, there's an old quote, I forget who said it, I should remember it, but always remember the quote, "What you are speaks so loud, I cannot hear what you say," amen? I think that's an awesome quote. I learned that in high school, and I've held on to it ever since. And I thought, has there ever been a more true statement spoken, amen? I can preach anything I want to, but if I'm not living it out, it's not going to be very effective in the end. Amen? I'm not going to let you get by and say, well, I'm just going to live out my Christianity and people will see it so I don't have to tell them. No, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen? Didn't say faith comes by seeing and seeing by the way you live. But those things work together. So we need to live out a compelling lifestyle. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times people are attracted to Christians. They see their lifestyle and they notice the way they live and they notice that you're different. At first they may think that you're kind of weird. And then over time they begin to notice things about you and they notice positive things and they are drawn. They may be drawn to you. I had people come and ask me questions. Amen. I didn't go to them. They came to me and said, hey, can I ask you a question? Because I noticed this. When they ask, usually they listen. Sometimes when we go without them asking, they don't listen at all. So our lifestyle can be very, very beneficial, but we got to be willing to speak up and put that behind it. But people will be turned off more quickly by how you live than the doctrine that you go out and preach. So as Christians, too, I think we can look for common areas with people out in the world. And again, it's good that we listen to what they're saying and try to understand where they're coming from and you know, try to understand why they believe what they believe. And I know one of the big debates that's raging right now is just, you know, because of the Supreme Court decision. And I'm thankful that we had Supreme Court. We had several judges or justices who were willing to make a very bold ruling, amen, and to say that there is no constitutional right to abortion. I agree with that, amen. And in fact, I go much further and I say, I really believe from a Christian view that abortion is an abomination to the Lord, amen. I believe that it's that murder of an unborn child is still murder. And I believe that it is not acceptable. Now, I will tell you here, if you're here this morning and you disagree, it's okay that you disagree with me. Amen? And we can talk about it. Yeah, well, I'm not kicking anybody out of church. Yeah, we don't kick people out for disagreeing. Yeah. But if you disagree, I would like to have the opportunity to talk. Amen? And present my case. But I'll tell you what, I'll give anybody an opportunity to present their case as long as they're respectful. Amen? And certainly outside the church, out in the world, I'm willing to have conversations with people. I'm willing to say, yeah, I'll listen to you, but in turn, you have to listen to me. Now, if they just want me to listen and I don't get to talk, I don't have any interest. Amen? But over the years, I'll tell you, I've had a lot of interesting conversations with people because I would say, well, why do you believe this? And what do you think about this? And I let them, and then I can come back and say, well, here's what I think. Instead of just saying, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. That's not a very effective method, amen? And I'm not afraid of sitting down and having a debate or a discussion in a civil manner with somebody. In fact, I can enjoy it. I might learn something in the process. Not that I might not learn that abortion is right, but I might learn something about how it is that they're seeing things and why it is they see a distorted truth maybe, and that makes me more effective then in revealing the truth, amen? So we can go I know, you know, another big issue right now comes back to the environment. When we hear all this stuff about the environment, another Supreme Court ruling about the EPA, which again, I think the Supreme Court is doing a good job. But again, I will say personally, I respect the Supreme Court even when I think they've done a bad job. Amen. And I don't condone, even if I disagree with how the judges do, I don't condone, you know, rioting and picketing and chasing them out of restaurants and the things going on. That's a very sad state of affairs. Amen. And they're just people. They're going to get it right and they're going to get it wrong. Amen. Right now, the environment, and there's all this big discussion about that. Well, I have some very specific views about the environment, and I'm pretty sure we are all not going to agree maybe 100% when it comes to all these issues, so I won't even bring them up. And that's okay that we don't necessarily have to agree. But I'm willing to bet with anybody in here, whatever your agrees are on the environment are, in fact, I'm pretty much willing to agree, anybody out there in the world, whatever their views on the environment are, I can real quickly find some common ground. Amen? Because I'm for the environment. I'm for taking care of things. You know, I hate to come and see where people are just throwing trash down on the ground. That's not good for the environment. I mean, that's wrong. You know, don't mess with Texas, right? Remember that campaign? But there are a whole lot of things. You know, one of the things I was taught in the Boy Scouts, back when the Boy Scouts were actually a good organization, but I grew up in the Boy Scouts. And one of the things, you know, you were taught in the Boy Scouts was when you go out in the woods and you go camping, when you leave it better than the way that you found it. Amen? If you go off camping somewhere and somebody else threw the trash down, you say, well, I didn't throw that. No, you pick it up. If you see a way of making things better, you do. We were taught we respect the environment. And I think that's right. Amen? And I believe that you know, I don't have a problem with drilling for oil and mining resources, but I think we need to do them in ways that are proper ways. And so I can probably find a lot of area to agree with people out there. So if I'm going to go talk to folks out there and that's what they're really strong on, I'm going to look for areas of agreement where we can agree and then move forward from there. Amen? Find areas where, you know, don't alienate them because they're already alienated. So find those areas. And it doesn't have to be all or nothing. There's the problem with Christians sometimes. We want to make it all or nothing. And we may be absolutely 100% totally right, but that attitude automatically turns people off. And so, you know, we need to be careful. I mean, you know, when it comes to abortion, I have great sympathy for a woman who's dealing with an unwanted pregnancy. Amen? Now, I still don't agree with abortion, but I have great sympathy. But my view would be, I want to help you. Amen? Whatever the right answer is to protect and preserve the life of this child, I think as Christians, we have a responsibility. I mean, that's the reason we support the Living Alternatives. Amen? You know, that's the reason if somebody comes into this church, they're pregnant and not married, what are we going to do? We're not going to tell them there's anything wrong with it. We're going to love them. We're going to help them. We're going to provide for them the best we can. Amen? But it doesn't mean I don't have sympathy. And it doesn't mean I don't understand why some women think that that's the only option they have. Amen? Maybe some women feel that. Well, what do? We need to go out and change things. We need to make sure they understand that they have more options. They have more, you know, help available because we as Christians stand behind what we believe. You know, maybe we need to show more support to places like Living Alternatives. Give them more options. So we can stand, you know, gender identity confusion. It makes me crazy. But I'm going to tell you, somebody who is struggling with that and saying, you know, I think that I'm, you know, the wrong gender, trapped in the wrong body, to them, it's real. Amen? Or to most, a lot of them. I think some people are just gaming the system because they think it's the thing to do. But there are people that are really struggling, and they are suffering with depression and mental illness and all these things. I'm very sympathetic to this person. Amen? And I want their life to get better. My goal isn't to go beat them over the head, but my goal would be to help them. But I know the only thing that's going to help them. Amen? And, you know, reassigning your gender is not going to help. It never does. Why? Because that's not the problem. The problem is they need Jesus. Amen? So if we can have some sympathy for people that are struggling and knowing that we have the answer, find a way to present that answer. And so what is the answer? Well, the answer is always the truth. I'll close with John 14:6. I think we all know this. Hopefully we can all quote this. If you don't know this scripture, memorize this scripture. Amen? John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. This is the NLT version. I think we need to know that. What is the truth? Jesus is the truth. What is the way? Jesus is the way. How do we find life? We find life in Jesus. Somebody struggling with something, what do they need? They don't need to be beat up. They need to know Jesus. Somebody feeling like they're trapped in the wrong body, what do they need? They need Jesus. Amen. Somebody struggling to get through something, they need Jesus. If they get Jesus in their life, then their life is going to change. And so I think that we have a really big job ahead of us. Do I think it's impossible? No. Amen. I don't think it, if it was impossible, then I don't think God would have told us to go do it. Amen. So we need to realize it is possible. We need to realize things can change. Again, I say the Supreme Court ruling shows me things can change. It doesn't have to be that way. Let's continue in prayer. Let's continue to pursue. Let's continue to make our voices heard in the proper way. Let's continue to show up and to vote for the candidates that express and relate to our views. But let's show, at the same time, show that love to the world around us so that they can see Christ through us. Amen. We need to reveal the truth. Darkness is always overcome by light. Amen.